This is your teacher, Dingley May, addressing you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together. I shall deal now with your documentary lesson number 8. Peace be unto you. Now, my beloved, your documentary lesson number 8 is placed where it is, as your practice for your 8th week, in the hope that you may benefit by a further study of meditation. It is quite common for difficulty to be experienced in the early weeks of practice. Many students report that I am unable to meditate. I can get to the point where I seem to lose all sense of my body, but I am not able to control my mind in the same way. Now, if you are like that, you are in excellent company. Therefore, as your teacher, I emphasize steady, reverent practice. Do not enter into meditation as if you expect heaven to immediately come down. Place yourself in the position that you desire to occupy, then follow instructions. Such practice will ultimately guarantee success. Do not feel in any way superstitious or fearful. Follow instructions. Now, all great religions have always claimed to have an inner side. This inner side has always been revealed as a priceless treasure only to a select few. These mysteries of the inner side of all religions have been perforce wisely and jealously guarded, handed down usually by word of mouth for generation after generation. Of course, the initiated know that the living truth is embodied in esotericism rather than in exotericism, and they declare that only through esoteric practices can a human being understand even the outer or exoteric duties of life itself in what appears to be the outer world. In other words, there is a mystic side to life which reveals its mysteries only through a search and practice of life's inner laws. Now, all religions have made this claim. Christianity is no different, for the simple reason that such an inner side must exist if a religion is to be strong and stable. All men, however, are not at the same level of evolution, so that it were useless to intellectually give to them the same religious teaching. This fact has always been acknowledged, and I am sure you will at once acknowledge it too. That which would help the intellectual man would be entirely unintelligible to the stupid. While that simple intellectual teaching necessary to the young soul would be crude and boring to the philosopher. Now, while this is clear in regard to the intellectual understanding of religion, the great teachers of all ages have declared that there exists one single esoteric secret which will enable all men, irrespective of what they may know or may not know intellectually, to develop themselves spiritually on the inner side, esoterically, to the highest point, so that in their outer or exoteric life, they may express the highest that they are evolutionarily developed to express. And that, of course, is the ultimate aim and end of man's existence. Finally, to express God. By our works alone are we known and remembered. Now, this is important to notice. Though called by many different names in different religions, I may say at once that this secret is the actual coming into direct union with God, with the universal intelligence, with the moving wisdom of life, of coming into the heart of love, of coming to realize in the silence one's own divine nature. Well, now, what is this way? How is it done? Now, in this sacred lesson which you will be studying this week, it is my intention to allow myself to be guided by the immortal spirit within me to explain this secret in such a manner that, I repeat, irrespective of what we may know or may not know intellectually, any sincere student in the science of mental physics may be able to learn it and to use it. Now, the word that we use in mental physics to name this secret is meditation. Therefore, my beloved, I ask you most humbly, as your teacher, to prepare yourself to come with me. As deeply as possible, we will enter that magic realm of the silence where we may commune together and together reach the highest spiritual height that we are capable of reaching. But I cannot do it for you. All I can do is to indicate the way. The pilgrim must reach that fixity of mind in which no breeze, however strong, can waft an earthly thought within. Thus purified, the shrine must of all action, sound, or earthly light be void. Even as a butterfly, or taken by the frost, falls lifeless at the threshold, so must all earthly thoughts fall dead before the fane. Now, my beloved, point one. The body is an electrical instrument. Now, I have no doubt that many of you have some knowledge of meditation. The sevenfold position is the most natural way to sit, so that we place the physical organism, the body, in perfect correspondence with the living, moving force of life itself throughout the universe. It is well to sit so that the buttocks are as large as possible or as flat as possible, occupying as much space on the floor as possible. Why? It is because the body is truly an electrical instrument. And for the purpose of meditation, we should look upon it as an electrical instrument. In sitting in the sevenfold position, we are contacted with seven distinct electrical connections, so to speak. Now, with the spine straight, the whole column not twisted or bent in any way, the two buttocks form the root of the tree in the earth upon which we sit. They form two electrical connections, the right being the positive, the left being the negative. But be quite sure that your spine is quite straight. I repeat this, the spine must be straight. Now, of course, I know that this position to some is quite uncomfortable. It may be that the body will not readily adjust itself to this position. If that be so, then sit on a stool or even sit in a comfortable armchair. You must be the judge. This sevenfold position is the preferable position. This instrument, this body, is, as I've said, an electrical instrument. This body is infinitely more accurate than the most perfect timepiece ever devised and kept in order by the mind of man. In the sevenfold position, we place the body in the position most certain that the universal force may readily flow. Now then, as I sit here, the two buttocks touch the earth, making two electrical connections. Then the two ankles, as they rest upon the floor, make two more electrical connections, making four. The two legs, as they are crossed above the ankles, make one more electrical connection, a total of five. Then the hands upon the knees, palms upward, make two more electrical connections, a total of seven. That is quite simple. Now, I shall not hold discussion on that magic number, seven, but all of you in mental physics are to learn that the universe is composed of seven distinct kingdoms, and that man, standing at the apex of consciousness below the celestial kingdom, embodies all the kingdoms that are lower than his own human kingdom, and everything that we can see or touch or sense or dream about is made up of seven distinct sevens. The very words that I am speaking now are sevenfold in nature. As the breath, which causes the words to come forth, is sevenfold, this is, I am sure, a little difficult to explain, but through practice you will be able to feel in the seven great divisions of the body a sort of subtle correspondence between what seems to be your own body and what seems to be a sevenfold force that you can feel in all the seven divisions of your body. Now, let us deal with the method by which we enter into meditation. First, we watch our breath. We now come to the point of watching our breath. Having placed ourselves then in the sevenfold position, we are ready. We are the humble meditator who comes reverently before the throne of wisdom, and the first thing that we have to achieve is a consciousness of a cessation of our physical forces. We do that by watching our breath. We sit. We then just watch our breath. We feel our breath coming in and going out, coming in and going out. And as we watch our breath, possibly we may get the idea of a slowly, evenly, rhythmically moving wheel. The breath is coming in, which is half of the wheel. The breath is going out, which is the other half of the wheel. And as we watch, it seems that this feeling of wheel-like motion increases and causes us to imagine that the wheel grows larger, larger, larger. Gradually, we find our breath becoming longer, longer, longer. It is extended. It elongates itself. It becomes smoother. And when we first begin to watch our breath, it seems that there are many rough, hard, and uneven points over the surface of our breathing. Some breaths are longer than others. Some breaths are cut up. But gradually, as we watch, we find that our breath becomes smoother and fuller. And my beloved, watch it as I speak. As the breath becomes smoother and fuller, and as that can only take place gradually, we begin gradually to feel that the body is moving, or it seems to move. It seems that the body is slipping away, melting itself into the atmosphere, so to speak. There is no feeling in my body, and yet I am all feeling. I could not tell you whether my hands are here or there. I could not tell you the difference between the top of my head and the soles of my feet. All seems to be making itself known to me in a peculiar unity of feeling. My body is gone. Now, as we sit still, the body, though it may seem to be gone, may seem also to grow larger. It may seem to grow heavier or lighter, as the case may be. And we may seem, so far as our feelings are concerned, to be seated in the very center of this thing that we call our body, filled with feeling, and yet having no physical feelings.